Good morning. It's an encouragement to see everybody's faces this morning. And we're thankful for the opportunity to meet together in this manner. And I'd like to share a few scriptures this morning. It's been an encouragement to me. I'd like to for us to think about, consider David in the book of 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. When he met Goliath, you remember Goliath had come down, I believe it was like 40 days, challenging the camp of Israel to send out a man to fight with him. And there was great fear. There was not a challenger that stepped up in those 40 days until David came. In the 32nd verse, it said, "And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." That was a discouraging message to receive from King Saul to David. The enemy likes to tell us that same message today, present that to us in our living for God and serving Him. He would like to tell us that you're not able to go out. David didn't allow that to hinder him. And I want to notice that some background that David had that was in his favor, I guess we'd say God. David had been anointed, and David had also had some previous victories under his belt. And they were an encouragement to him. He reflected back how God had blessed him in those victories with the lion and with the bear while he was keeping the sheep. And I believe that gave David courage to think that God would help him at this time also. In the 38th verse, it said, "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." Now, there's always... Sometimes we as people, we don't like risk, but there's always seems to be risk involved when we step out. David believed that the Lord would help him, but I noticed he grabbed 5 stones. I don't know, he didn't just take 1 stone. He grabbed 5 stones. He didn't probably know all how the outcome or the battle would go, but he did believe that God would help him. In verse 45, David spoke to Goliath. He said, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." David David was not trusting in his ability. I don't believe it was the first time he slung a stone. I believe he probably practiced slinging that stone before. But he was not trusting in that ability. He was not trusting in that skill. He said, "I come to thee in the name of the Lord." I like to think of Goliath as just self-confidence. Self-confidence takes people a lot of places in life. It will gain them a lot of things. But it doesn't compare with confidence in the Lord and trusting in God for strength and blessing instead of our own ability and our own skills. And David said to him, "I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts." He goes on, he says in verse 47, "All this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." I believe that's a real important verse to remember, that if we are a child of God, that the battle truly belongs to God. And God, we want to have faith and confidence that God will help us in the battle. He'll help us in the journey of life, the things that we meet, the challenges that we face. The Lord will be there to help us. The battle belongs to the Lord. And I'd like to read in verse 48, it said, "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." I was really impressed with that boldness and that courage that David had in moving forward to meet the enemy, to meet the challenge. It said, "And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth." So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. And the Lord gave them a great victory that day. The Lord helped David to overcome. The battle was God's, and David was an instrument in God's hand. And the Lord blessed them and gave them a victory. I would like to name Goliath, put a name on him this morning. I'd like to call him Giant Fear. Fear is a emotion that all of us experience from time to time. But David didn't just stand back. He went forward to meet his challenger, his fear. Sometimes I feel like if we look and get our eyes on our weaknesses and we fail to see God's promises and God's power, it will hinder in you and I from stepping forward to meet the challenges that come to us in life. Every one of us are going to have All of us are going to meet giant fear sometime or another in our life. And we don't want to just look at the battle through our own eyes and to see our own human frailty and our weaknesses, which all of us have. But we want to recognize that the battle belongs to God, and He's promised to help us. Now, I want to notice in the Old Testament so many times that God, His power was unleashed when the people went forward in obedience, in faith. God's power was unleashed and it worked. But it seems like there needs to be an act of faith, an act of obedience on our part, even if it's a small step towards what God is perhaps calling us to do and facing our challenges. There needs to be some kind of a movement forward in our hearts and our lives to meet the challenges. And that's, for example, when they were trying to cross the Jordan River was overflowing its banks, it says when the priests put their feet in the water, when they stepped and got their feet in the water, the Lord parted, the Lord worked, and they were able to go across believe it was the Jordan River. The time, I believe, with Jehoshaphat, when they were meeting a very great challenge, them, it said the singers went out before and they began to sing and praise the Lord. And it said the Lord sent ambushments. That moment that they began to sing and they began to praise the Lord sent ambushments to their enemy, and they were able to overcome. So, Lord, help us today to trust in God, to believe in Him, to recognize that the battle's His, and to make some kind of effort forward against giant fear when He confronts us and He opposes us in our life. I want to read the definition of risk. It means risk is the potential for uncontrolled loss of something of value. Risk can also be defined as the intentional interaction with uncertainty. Uncertainty is a potential, unpredictable, and uncontrollable outcome. But I want to say risk sometimes causes us to draw back. Risk causes us, we think about the loss that can occur, and it can cause us to draw back, and it can hinder us in the victories that God wants us to have. I had a dream recently, and in this dream, I was climbing this mountain, and there was a lot of ice on it. It was very treacherous. And I felt fear within. As I was climbing these precipices, and I could see these big valleys, there was fear that I felt, an anxiety. I felt there was great risk that I was involved in. But I got to see beautiful things that I'd never seen before. I saw beautiful sights and valleys and beautiful shades of different colors, the ice, the blue, the hues. And it was just a marvel to me. But I still felt, I felt at risk. I felt in danger. And I believe at times, I don't know if we'll ever get to the place where we don't maybe feel shaky knees or dry throat or a tossing tummy. But we don't want to allow fear to keep us back. We don't want to allow fear to control and restrain us. In reading the scripture, 1 John 4:18, I believe, where it talks about perfect love casting out fear, our King James Version says, "For fear hath torment," but the Greek dialogue may comment, it says, "restraint." Fear has restraints. Fear inhibits us. It holds us back. It immobilizes us. It stalls us. It cripples us. It confines us. And I believe fear many times keeps us from hearing the voice of God. If fear is dominating us and influencing us, it keeps us from being able to hear the voice of God and the Holy Spirit. It immobilizes, it stalls, it cripples us and confines us. In the book of Exodus, the fourth chapter, we recognize that God was calling Moses to go and deliver the children of Israel. And Moses was human, like you and I are human. But in verse 1 of the fourth chapter, it said, "And Moses answered and said, Behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." So, in response to the call of God in his life, he felt that it would be a failure. He felt like it wouldn't work. We read in verse 10, it says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." Here's another excuse that Moses had. He didn't feel he was seeing his own weakness. He said, "I'm not eloquent, I'm slow of speech, a slow tongue." I would like to say at this point that when God begins to lead us and put a burden on our heart, that he's not making a mistake. The Lord knows what he's doing. He puts the members in the body as it pleases him. And he knows, the Lord knows what he's doing. Verse 13, it says, "And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send me." Whom thou wilt send. Now that's a little hard to understand, so I'd like what the Septuagint says. The Septuagint says, "I pray thee, Lord, appoint another able person whom thou shalt send." So basically Moses was saying, "You have got the wrong guy. You have made a mistake." That's human. That's us. But God didn't make a mistake. God wanted to use Moses. But I want to... Fear, sometimes we don't really just notice that that's giant fear, but it disguises itself in our human reasoning. Fear disguises itself. All of these things that Moses was saying, basically it was, "I'm afraid." He didn't say that with these words, but that's what it meant. It meant, "I'm afraid. Send another person, another able person. You've got the wrong guy. There are a lot of reasons today that we can give why we don't face giant fear, the challenges that come in our life. It's so easy for us to come up with excuses. It's so easy for us to tell ourselves, "I can't do it," or "I won't do it." And I believe God is patient with us as humans, and he works with us. I think about the time where Jesus made comment about the two sons. He said, the father said, "Go work in my vineyard today." The one son said, "I will not go." But it said later afterwards, he repented and he went. The other son said, "I'll go," but he never went. And he said, "Which one of them did the will of the father?" And it was the one that said, "I'm not going." So I'm very grateful today that God is very patient and he's willing to work with us. And we have those examples in the scriptures. We Talked about Jonah the other night and how Jonah, the Lord called him to do something. I want to say this too about God calls us, all of us. God calls all of us. All of us have a purpose in life. All of us have a plan. All of us have gifts and talents that God wants to use. So all we can put every one of us, we may say not, well, you know, God's not calling me to deliver the children of Israel, but He is calling us. He's calling every one of us. The call has come. The call does come. I want you to do this. God does that to all of His children. He calls us. There's places that He wants us to fill. And we can have our excuses. But at the bottom of it, many times it's the giant fear in our lives. It's fear. Fear is behind unbelief. Fear is behind unbelief. Fear is behind anxiety and worry. I remember Sister Dilly used to say all the time there at Guthrie years ago, she said, "Saints, if we're trusting, we're not worrying. If we're worrying, we're not trusting." And that's true. The two are not compatible. They don't go together. If we're really trusting in the Lord and we're surrendering our heart to Him, then we're overcoming fear. There are different things that we can be afraid of. I don't know all of our fears. We can be fear of failure, fear of people, fear of circumstances, fear of death. So many different ways that we can be challenged by fear. But to overcome those fears, and God does want us to overcome fear. And I don't want to set something that's too high because I believe we'll never totally get beyond the emotion of fear. I believe we'll always maybe feel a little turning in our insides and sweaty palms and sweaty forehead or nervousness, shaky knees. But that doesn't have to hold us back from following the Lord. The Lord wants us. And it doesn't really tell us. David went forward, but he took 5 stones with him. It doesn't tell us all of his inner feelings and the things that he was experiencing, but he went forward. He stepped forward, and God blessed him with a great victory. And when we step forward, God will bless us with victory also. There are all different kinds of fear. I remember growing up, I had a fear of water. And I wasn't so fearful that I couldn't get in the water, but I was fearful of the deep. And I remember as a child, my mom would take me to the swimming, and I was always holding on close to the bank, the edge. I was feared to get out over my head, and there was always something down inside. I just always felt a little bit of a fear about water. Rosie and Philip came out quite a few years ago to Jefferson, and we went to Foster Lake, beautiful lake, but we stopped and we bought some snorkeling stuff. You know, the snorkel, where the goggles and the thing you put in your mouth and hold up. And we went snorkeling, and I found that I could go out in the middle. And I don't know how it was a deep the Foster Lake is a pretty deep lake, way over my head. But I began to learn that I could relax and I could float and I could survive and I could make it. And I felt like it was kind of a turning point for me in that phobia of water. I felt like it was a turning point, and now I'm not, you know, I don't feel like I'm afraid of being dumped off out in the middle of the lake somewhere. I can survive. I've faced that. So the Lord, you know, the things that we're afraid, you know, one place, one scripture said, the things I feared the most came upon me. Sometimes I believe the Lord wants us to be able to face those fears. To be able to face, and some of those fears come from our past, from our brokenness and our woundedness. But the Lord brings us in places, and we talked about that with the children of Israel. He brought them into impossible situations. And it was to help them to overcome their fear. And that God would let them, help them, that they would know that He was there with them, that He would bless them. I wanted to read a little piece that was written by President Franklin D. Roosevelt. It was part of his 1932 inauguration address. He said, this is, I quote it, this is not his whole speech, just a little bit. It says, "So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself." The only thing that we have to fear is fear itself. He went on to say, "Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance." I was really blessed by that. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. Advance is so vital for us. It's so important for us to take a little step of advance against the powers of darkness. I know the enemy, the scripture calls him as a roaring lion, seeking about whom he may devour. It said, "Resist steadfast in the faith." Lions, they roar. They try to put fear into their prey. And that's what the devil tries to do to us. You know, sometimes little things happen and all of a sudden the devil has a big, huge, giant, a dark, dark picture in front of us. And it's like, oh my, what a giant. That's a tactic the enemy uses on all of us. That one verse says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." I remember having one of my cousins, his family went through a divorce, and he was probably, probably around 10 or 12 years. I don't know the exact age. But divorce is very traumatic upon children. Very, very traumatic. And he grew up into an adult and he had a girlfriend, and he told me this himself. He said he loved her and she loved him. They were both in love. But they just kept dating. They kept dating and kept dating, and he wouldn't commit. And he told me this, and I don't know if it was he realized the fear or what was transpiring with him, but he told me this years later. He said, Bobby, I was afraid that my marriage would end like my parents' marriage. I was afraid that I would be inadequate, that I wouldn't be able to make her happy. And so he never committed to her. He never married her. And finally, she went and she married someone else. So fear can be a very dominating, a very powerful influence in our life that steals what God wants to do and the way God wants to help us and to bless us. I want to get another scripture in the book of Samuel. This scripture was impressed upon my heart a while back in 1 Samuel, let's see here. 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. This is where the Lord told Saul to go and fight against the Amalekites. He gave him clear directions of what he wanted him to do. I want you to destroy everything. Now Saul went and fought against the Amalekites. He destroyed the people. But he spared King Agag and he spared the best of the flock. And then he gave an excuse when Samuel came to meet him. He gave an excuse. He said, well, we kept this to offer to the Lord. And I'm not sure if I believe that. But in Samuel's confrontation to Saul, Saul, first of all, told him, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord and I went the way. Well, he went that way, but he didn't do everything that God told him to do. He only did part of what the Lord told him to do. But in verse 2, Samuel told him, he said, Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion, that's the way God viewed that. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. You know, the Lord doesn't want us serving Him with a stubborn and an unwilling heart. He wants us to be able to yield and humble ourselves and submit to Him. Because he said stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. In verse 24 it said, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. He finally gives his total, complete confession. I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people. He feared. He was afraid. This really cuts home to me. It really challenges me because I've seen that I've had fears in my life that have hindered me at times. I feel like there's been times that I've quenched the Spirit of God. And as I said earlier, God is patient and willing to work with us. But I will say this, that we must come to the place of willing submission and obedience. We must step forward and overcome our fear. Another scripture said, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Our fears can really hinder us in being what God wants us to be. One of the verses in the song that Sister Maxine called, it said something about not being afraid. And will my Lord be pleased with me? The Lord is not displeased when we allow fear to hinder us and to keep us and restrain us from following Him and being what He wants us to be. I want to, 2 Timothy, he mentions, he said, stir up the gift of God, 2 Timothy 1:6. Stir up the gift of God, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Stir up the gift of God, a spirit of fear. I feel like the more that we yield to the different fears we may have in our life, the more we yield to those fears, I believe it can actually evolve into a spirit of fear. I believe a spirit of fear is maybe just more than just having a fear, but we can actually get under a spirit of fear. And he was encouraging Timothy to stir up the gift of God, for God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I wanted to close with that little scripture, and I believe it's 1 John 4:18, but it mentions, it says, perfect love casteth out fear. Perfect love is when we totally yield our heart. We become to the place that we're going to yield ourselves to God and we're going to be obedient. That's when His perfect love can come. And I've found different times in my life when I have stepped forward, the next step came easier. When I made a step, it seemed like God, the second step got easier, and the step after that got easier. But the first step is so important. But the Lord is looking for a complete surrender. I remember when the Lord began to burden me about preaching His word. I followed that. The Lord had put a burden upon my heart. And the Lord blessed the first message I gave. The saints there at the old chapel in Guthrie, they seemed like they really enjoyed it and felt the Lord had blessed and the Lord was in it. The second message didn't go so well. I felt like it was a failure. And I began to resist God's leading. And my human reasoning began to kick in. And I remember reading the scriptures and they didn't have any meaning anymore. It was like reading a newspaper. It was no longer really feeding my soul and ministering to the needs of my heart. And the Lord brought to my mind, the Lord used my wife. We went to bed one evening and she knew I was struggling. And anyway, she said some things to me that evening and I didn't even answer her back. I didn't know what to say. But the next morning I began to think about what she said, and then the Lord brought back to my mind something that someone had said. I think Brother Leslie may have given it a message, but someone had to consecrate to be a failure for God. That's hard. We don't like to fail. But fear of failure will hinder us. And so once I consecrated to be a failure, the blessing of the Lord came back in His richness and His love and His goodness. So I want to encourage us, perfect love, a complete surrender to the will of God. We mentioned Christ last night in the Garden of Gethsemane. When He surrendered His will to the Father's will, He was able to go and meet His opposition. He was able, the inner battle was won within. He was able to defeat the outward things, the opposition that came against Him when He surrendered. That's where the power of God comes. That's where the Lord, when He sees a willing heart and obedience on our part, that's where the Lord is able to pour His grace and His strength. And it's not us, it's God pouring into us. So I just want to encourage us today. I don't know really what all of our battles are. All of us have different struggles in life. But the battle belongs to the Lord. And He doesn't want us to fear and be afraid. And He doesn't want that fear to immobilize us. He wants us to go forward and step forward, and God will step with us and meet us. I'm thankful for the Lord and the presence. We don't see the spiritual realm. We don't see angels. We don't see demons with our natural eyes. But I think about the time where the Lord opened the eyes of Elijah's servant. And he looked up and he saw all the fiery chariots that were round about. He said, "They that be for us is more than they that be against us." He realized that there was no match. You know, there's no match. There's no giant that can stand before the Lord. There's no giant fear. There's no giant that can destroy us and conquer us when God is on our side. Well, we love you all. We trust you all. And we pray that these thoughts will be a blessing and a help to all. It's been such of an encouragement being with you. I want to say I really appreciate your prayers for us.